We're going to jump right into Matthew 5 here because we want to spend some time around the communion table in a little while. And so let me invite you to Matthew 5, where we have been for some weeks, continuing on the Sermon on the Mount. Today I've likened it or thought it this way: attitudes and sins of the heart, beginning at verse 21, going through verse 30. Verse 21 says, "You have heard that it was said," this is Jesus speaking to the listeners that day and to us, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder.'" That's command 6. They all knew that. They all knew that from the Mosaic law written down in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whosoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you," here's where Jesus begins now, when his "but I say to you," his challenges not just of the flesh and the outward actions, challenging us of the attitude of our heart. He said, "You know good and well what command 6 says. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not murder,' and whosoever does will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the same judgment." And so he begins to fulfill, as he said he would in these past verses that we just saw, to fulfill the law and help us to understand the spirit of the law versus just the letter of the law. Verse 23. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Verse 27. "You have heard that it was said of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.'" Command 7. They knew that. "But I say to you, that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." 29. "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." Remember the words that we looked at just last week, the words of Jesus from 17 to 19, same chapter, that said, "I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law." And in this scripture today, we see two examples very clearly. Two examples of the law, the moral law stated a long time ago, and how he's building upon them and helping them to understand. You would think in your mind that murder and adultery, that's a flesh, that's an external thing, but he's saying it's more than just that. It's also an attitude of your heart. And so he begins to fulfill this law he talked about. It's not hard for most of us to be able to claim victory over command 6 that says, "Thou shalt not murder." It was probably not hard for the Pharisees of the day to be able to claim victory over command 6. But can we really claim victory when Jesus said that the kind of anger that burns within us and perhaps is even somewhat out of control, that does eventually control us and perhaps hurts us and perhaps hurts others and perhaps even destroys relationships with others, perhaps even destroys families and the church and what God is trying to do in His people, He said, is the same as murder. And I have to ask myself, and I submit to you this morning, can we also claim victory over that? It's a lot deeper than the letter of the law that said, "You shall not murder." He said, "What is the condition of your heart? How angry are you with your neighbor? How angry are you with your spouse or somebody else in the church house?" Because Jesus said, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother or sister without a cause shall be in danger of the same judgment." And so he begins to drill down and remind the listeners that day and remind us today, it's more than just that outward physical act. What is your heart like? Oh, I'm quite sure the scribes and Pharisees could claim, "We have not murdered." And I'm quite sure that most of us can claim the same thing. But Jesus says, what's the attitude of your heart towards someone else? And maybe he's even being mean to your kids. That gets under our skin in a hurry, don't it? Somebody's been picking on my kids or my grandkids. Or somebody's angry with me without a cause. Or someone has called me names. Or someone has spray-painted the church. I was listening to KTIG this week and listening about to a speaker when he spoke about violence against the church and all manner of things. How angry are we? What is the condition and the attitude of my heart? Has sin unfolded in my heart because I've let anger drag me down that path? How do we deal with that? Jesus said in verse 23, "Therefore, if you're bringing your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, or you against your brother," it could mean as well, or say as well, "leave your gift there before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." You see what he's saying? If I've got something against my brother or sister in Christ, And I'm just plain put out with them. I'm just plain angry with them. God's saying, Jesus is saying here, "Jim, don't bother to come to me on your knees and pray until you've made an attempt to be reconciled to your brother. Leave your gift at the altar. Go first to your brother or sister and make that attempt to be reconciled to your brother." He said, "Then come and offer your altar. Then come and offer your gift," I mean, at the altar. Conditions of the heart is very important. Bitterness and anger and resentment. Before I come to the Master, maybe I need to just deal with that first. Jesus told the listeners that day, if you have a grudge or an issue with your brother or sister, if you're holding those grudges or holding that anger, deal with that before you come to me with your offerings. Or at least attempt to deal with it. It's more than a physical act of murder, friends. It's the condition of our heart. And the attitude of my heart towards others, especially even in the household of faith. Number 27, he says, "You have heard it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." You remember the little song we used to sing as kids? "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." You remember that song? Boy, that reminds me, this verse reminds me of that song. "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above watching over us in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." And you see what Jesus is saying in this verse? He said, "You know good and well what commandment 7 is. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you," it's more than that physical act. "Be careful what your eyes see. Be careful where that takes you," he's saying. Because if you're letting your eyes see these things, and you let that take you away, he said, that is the same as the physical act. It's the attitude of the heart. Our society, friends, today gets high on sexuality and sensuality. It does. It sells. It sells on TV. It sells in the movie. It sells in the magazine. It sells on the internet. We've fallen for the lie of the devil into believing that pornography is harmless and a few R-rated movies, no big deal. We've fallen for the lie of the devil. We can't even pick up a movie at the rental place anymore without checking the ratings, because you never know what you're going to see on them. You can't go on TV hardly anymore. Or you got to be careful on the internet, at the magazine stands, or you're going to see all manner of things. So how, I asked myself, and I challenge you, so how in the world are we going to keep from falling into this lustful attitude when it seems to permeate the entire air? How are we going to maintain a positive balance of focus on Christ and not be drawn away in our own lust and fall into the same category as Command 7, even with our eyes and our heart? How are we going to do that? How in the world, in this sex-crazed society, are we going to keep ourselves safeguarded from falling into Commandment 7, even if it's just my eyes and my mind and my heart? I'm reminded of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. One of them says self-control. Sometimes self-control isn't easy. It doesn't matter what category it is. We just happen to be talking about Command 7 here. But self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. I believe it was Pastor Salek that said here a month or so ago from Galatians 5, be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Draw the line, Jesus is saying. He knows what the society all around us is like in the 21st century. Nudity in the magazine stands, on TV, on your internets, in the magazines, everywhere. So how are we going to keep from falling into this category that Jesus just described when he said, but I say to you, for a man to look after a woman with lust in his heart has already committed adultery. How are we going to keep from falling into that when it's everywhere? And I submit to you, we got to draw the line. Yeah, it's around. You got to take a stance. I took a stance a long time ago, and I'm not boasting, I'm just giving you an example. R-rated movies with nudity don't come into my house. If my children see it's okay for Dad, it's okay for me. And I don't want them to say it's okay for me. It's not okay for Dad. We got to draw the line. We got to draw the line in the magazines we buy. We got to draw the line in the internet. We got to be careful. Oh, and Jesus did mention something. He said, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. If your right hand offend thee, cut it off. What was he saying? Did he mean literally gouge out your eyes, cut your hands off? I believe that was figuratively, but I believe what he really means, he's really saying is take drastic measures to stop the sin. I believe that's what he's saying. That would be a drastic measure to gouge out my eyes. So I couldn't look at something that I shouldn't be looking at, or whack off my hand so I couldn't use it some way that was negative. That would be a drastic measure. But I believe what Jesus is saying is take drastic measures to stop the sin. It's not okay to continue in sin. And I believe he's saying to us, take drastic measures to stop. Because even what your eyes are beholding and your heart is conceiving is sin, the same as Command 7. Take serious measures, he said, to stop the sin. And I suppose we could discuss and translate verse 29 a while. I suppose we could dialogue about what it all means, but I see that it says a couple things. One, I believe it says to take drastic measures to stop the sin in my life or yours, or suffer some very eternal consequences. You have heard it said of old, but I say to you, I love those words of Jesus, because it's about to tell me something new. It's about to tell me something good. It's about to tell me something that's real meaningful. It's about to tell me, Jim, stand up and take notice. You have heard it said of old, but I say to you, set up and take notice, Jim, what I'm going to say here. And he begins to lay out these foundations of the Sermon on the Mount. He's just beginning. We've just started to get into the Sermon on the Mount. He's just beginning to lay the foundation of the truths of a radical transformed life for Jesus. Oh, that's what I desire to be. A radical transformed life. Not because Jim has done anything, but because Jesus has for me. And he's just beginning to lay out these foundational truths of a radical transformed life for Jesus. Of a radical transformed life that is surrendered completely to him in every category of my life. A disciple, if you will, of Jesus that longs to be like the master teacher, Jesus. You say, Jim, it's impossible. You're right. It is impossible without Jesus, without His Spirit. You're right. It is impossible. We're going to go through society and we're going to get mad. We're going to go through life in society and we're going to see stuff that we shouldn't be looking at. And Jesus says, draw the line, followers of mine. It's impossible on your own flesh, your own strength, to draw the line and don't go there. But when we surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus and allow His Holy Spirit to come into our life, it's possible. I believe that's why He laid out these precepts, to tell us it is possible.